Sunday morning, February 20th.
Lord, we ask for your presence with us today. We ask your blessing upon our service. Lord, we talk about your word says that you are love. Cause us to know in a greater way just what that is. Cause us to know that, Lord. And Lord, cause us to be like you in that respect. More of that. More of that. Oh, we ask for more of that, Lord. Your spirit. And that there might be light on your word. Oh, that there might be light on your word this morning. Here during our meeting. And light on your word in our life. Light. Oh, that there might be light on your word, Lord, by your spirit. Amen.
Well, I don't think eternal life was designed by any man. That God had this set up eons ago. And I'm not so sure that a lot of people that are looking for eternal life would be happy with it the way God has it set up.
Might not be.
And if the scriptures give us any indication, and I think it does, it says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass. And which tells me that it's going to be a permanent thing. You know what I mean? And as I was, early this morning, as I was thinking about some of the scriptures, and I thought, you know, the way God has it set up right now, there's a blessing on those that hang on to his word and go for it. You know what I mean? And one of the first verses that really affected me, and I think it did a lot of us, was the first chapter of Psalms. And it says, you know, blessed is man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law does he meditate day and night. And anyway, there's a number of scriptures, and I ran into one this morning. It's in Joshua 1:8. And this is just before they hit the... What does it say? He fought the battle of what? Of Jericho. Just before they hit Jericho. Anyway, God talked to Joshua right after Moses was gone. And he told him, he said in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And it's like, is that true? Well, I tell you, after what God had done in the Red Sea and treated some of the other tribes, the Ninevites, or is that what you call them? I don't know. They were petrified. And so it's almost like the battle was won before anybody else got there. And they learned respect by what they saw. And, you know, I don't have all of the proper respect, I'm sure, but I have gained a lot of respect over the years for what I've seen. And a lot of us have. And it's, God says that that David was a man after his own heart. And he was, whatever he was or whatever he did, he obeyed God. He did what he was supposed to do. And I'm thinking that we're going to be in eternity with God. And it's by his choice. Are we going to vote on it? Is it going to be a dictatorship, or that's not really the right word? But what is it going to be? Is it not going to be God's plan? He's not going to have us to choose up sides, I don't think, do you?
He'll be king.
Yeah, he'll be the king, and a good one. And it says in, I think it's 2 Peter, the first chapter, it says, because of these great and mighty words that are in this, of the Bible, that we are going to become, through these words, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Is that what he wants?
Amen.
That is what he wants. He wants us to be like him. As if we can. You know, I don't know how much we can be like him, but apparently we can somehow. Even these little guys. Mm.
Let me just say that I got here not at the stroke of 10, but not too much after 10. And boy, the worship was good. It was just good. And let me encourage all of you to alter your Sunday morning habits enough so that you can get a good share of that worship time in before our actual service. Whatever, you know, we live the life we live, and, you know, it's sometimes realize that it can be harder for some situations than others to do that, but, you know, as best you can, alter things on Sunday morning so that you're here to get a good share of that time in, because it is good. It's good.
There was some old-fashioned dancing right away by those that were able to dance. I don't know, can you still dance?
I bet I could if I had to. I haven't for a while.
Mostly in the spirit. Right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You should see me in the spirit.
If there was a newborn in here, he would be dancing. Yes.
Well, some of you get on it.
You can call Angel and Chelsea.
Well, David danced before the Lord, and he danced with all his might, according to the song. I don't know if that's what it says in the scriptures, but and God apparently liked it. And Michelle, who is Saul's daughter, thought that there was...
Michelle or Michael?
Michael. Is that what it was? Michael, yeah. And she thought it was kind of foolish for him to do that. And because of that, she never had any children. And God caused that to happen. I don't know why I said that.
And I think there really can be something that is sterile in the spirit if you despise what looks, you know, from the natural point of view, what looks pretty foolish. Especially if you wouldn't dream of doing something like that yourself. Which I assume would have been true of her. One thing we really do not want to be is sterile in the spirit. Oh my, we don't want to be sterile in the spirit. We want to be fruitful in the spirit. So, and some of that's just plain a decision, I think, you know? You can decide. Ooh, I realize my tendency is to think this is foolish. I better jump in there and start doing it. If that's what I'm thinking, you know, let me be a fool.
Well, we used to. I have really been blessed by a lot of the testimonies recently, so feel free.
Welcome, Megan. The ones that are most like Jesus right now.
Yes.
They've been ready to hug you all since 7 this morning.
Pure faith, pure trust.
When I see the girls, I just gotta be silly. I tell them, is there a beauty contest here? But nobody invited me to? So I'm walking in here, and the little girls come out, and I'm like, I thought I was coming to church, but I must be coming into this beauty contest.
Well, it was a blessing to have, like all of our little warriors, come up and give us those hugs. That was very appreciative. Thank you.
Yes. Lord.
We do, we have a lack of just hugging because of the pandemic. Nobody, you know, nobody wanted to touch anybody, and yet a hug is such a wonderful, warm, you know, it's wonderful, but we just don't do it.
Do you know that you scientifically, like according to man, even you need 9 you need 9 hugs a day.
Well,
that's what man discovered.
I'll send them over more often. They would not be opposed at all.
9 hugs.
Keep
me
there,
you know what? I like 50, so I don't know.
So, Katie, you're saying that one of my childhood songs that I was playing in childcare was it 5 hugs a day is a lie?
Yeah.
Play it on repeat.
The science has discovered it's 9, but Bonnie heard 12, so I guess those two times. Scientists did not agree.
I say 100, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, right. Hey, you know what?
Just imagine 9 times 365,
just
how many would you get a year?
Just to keep grounded. imagine what 12 would do.
We have gotten away from hugs. Those of us who still live in the world.
Not me.
No, when you go out, in a grocery store, you run up to somebody and well, I'm back to doing that now. I just hug them. And I'm like,
good.
But it's a good feeling. And there is something that's kind of like, oh, that felt really good. And our spirit needs it as well as our flesh. Because hugging is such an emotional experience.
So that's what I'm saying. If man says the flesh needs 9, imagine how many the spirit
needs. Yeah.
So perfectly, it said about the pandemic and COVID and all of this to just separate us from each other. There's a point that holding the door for somebody, they would look at you very offended. You're within 6 feet of them. And we're supposed to greet each other with a holy kiss.
Forsake not the gathering.
And just the hugging and the loving and the kindness in general. We got to a point like, cover your face, don't even smile.
Yeah.
Everyone is very separated, and that's a daunting place to be in.
Well, it is. If you held the door open for somebody, they would look at you sometimes and use the other door.
Right. Which is such a strange design.
Not yet seen that. Carter holds open the door for everybody. Like, I've almost left him behind because he's still holding the door for everyone.
Good.
People discovered more manners.
Yeah, we're getting back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But truly, it's the pandemic devil.
That's why I enjoyed our weekend at the camper. Ever since it started, when the campground opened in May of 2020, we couldn't wait to get there. Because people are from Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, all over the place. And everybody's hugged. So we spend our weekends just, oh, hi, come on, hug, everybody, whatever. So it was a nice refresher from going into Walmart, where every time I would walk by somebody, there was, excuse me. I was like, what? So, but it was nice to just go and fellowship, I should say, with all the other huggers.
And I think, I'm only speaking for myself, but what happened to me in the beginning, I never was a hugger. I never grew up as a hugger. Somebody would hug me and I'd be like, okay, I like that. And I actually remember standing in the back of the church, and there was a whole line of people. And Simon Lee was going down the whole raft of people, hugging every person. And I was on the end, and I went, please don't. And he literally got to me and walked around me. So you see how the spirit can go both ways? Because I've been putting out this, and yet my heart, I really wanted to hug everybody, but it was too foreign. Mm-hmm. It was not my element. I didn't grow up that way. I just wasn't a hugger. So now hugs are really wonderful. Because I've learned.
Hugs have been wonderful in general.
Yes.
That's why Caden loves to hug me. Every time, all day long, we hug and hug. Right, Caden?
Yeah.
No. Hug kids. Yeah, silly night. Your arms are getting shorter. You know, wrong, whatever. I hug them recently, all the time. I say, oh, I forgot I put super glue in my arms.
Always.
I used to be the chiefest of huggers around here, and I've gotten out of it. And I don't know when the last time was that I hugged someone here in church. It's a while ago.
Well, here we come, Charlie. It's more than 9 today, Charlie. You'll be good for a few days.
there was times I used to work at Dollar Tree, and I could just see someone having a bad day, and I'd literally be like, can I hug you? Can I hug you?
Good question.
Or I have random people at Walmart that come up to me and start talking. The kids have witnessed it a few times now. And there's like, the kids are like, I'm like, I don't know what it is. God sends me people every now and then, especially if I'm having a hard time. They talk to me and I'm better at it. And it could be about their life story. And I'd be like, wait, what was your name? Like, I didn't get your name. But you just had to talk to me for like 10 minutes. But, it happened a couple weeks ago. The look on the kid's face, like, why did she come up to you twice? Like, I don't know, apparently her husband wasn't talking, so she talked to me.
If we're called to love, and that's what God is, love and all of that, no wonder the world did away with hugs for a while, you know, or we're set up to stay away. It's a perfect tool if we're supposed to love each other unconditionally. Scare everyone of loving each other.
Sitting here debating, I'm going through my mind, I want to say what I'm thinking or not. But I'm going to throw it out there. It's important, and I've experienced this, lived through it, but that you hug your little children as much and often as you can. Even if you have to step out of your way of doing something that's important to you, but take your time and just give them a hug. See, I grew up without all that, and it's not easy for me to hug people because I never had it. So it's important to me to have you people do that to your kids. You know?
Yeah.
Because of troubles in those areas, there could be some reluctance. And I think that is such a nasty situation that hugs can be looked on the wrong way here with grown-ups and kids. Mm-hmm. Just so nasty. And it's way, way, way too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is another way of the devil taking something that's nice and pure and wonderful and twisting it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, actually, Perky and I were talking about a lot of stuff this morning at home, and that wanted to relate. But, how the devil just takes normal things and twists them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, no, it's not right to hug. You hug too long. We didn't talk about that, but I'm just using that as an example. You know, what's the proper hug? Is it, you know, like this? Is, you know, I mean, the devil has put all these road signs, and he's going, I got this, I got this, I can take this away. And he's... I told Courtney, I said, it's like the domino effect. The devil's just lining up all of his dominoes in a row. Not dominoes. And he you can push him over at any time because it's got, I got this, I got this, I got this, and it's a cascading thing that goes around, and then everyone begins to doubt, is it okay to do, should I not? No, they're probably fine. I shouldn't talk to them. Should I talk to this person? Are they deranged? all these things can go through. It's just the Christ-like mind that you have to keep going. Okay, you want me to talk to this person? Great. But we, as a tendency, the world, because the devil does so much, he's always like, are you really sure you want to do this? That little bit of doubt he keeps planting into so many people that you're going, I'm not even sure what the question was. Mm-hmm. Mm. So his little domino effect just keeps, he knocks them and they all fall in a cascading roll. And you're going, I'm not even sure how it started out. That's sad.
You're right. Some years back, I remember I was in the play area. I must have taken my kids there, and my younger kids. And I was by a monkey bar right next to the monkey bar. I was doing my regular monkey bar. And this is little girl. I can remember it just happened, whatever. Long hair, a little bit, a little chubby, not bad, but she's asking, she said, can you help me get through the monkey bars? And I had to tell her no. I would have helped her with all my heart, but I didn't want to touch her. From grab her and put, because if it can get looked at the wrong way, and all of that, I'm locked up. You know what I mean? It's just, that's how it is. So I am actually, I'm careful. I have to be careful. I don't want to be, but I have to be, because we live in a world that is messed up. It's messed up. Katie said something about the campground. And the campground is different because I know the kids know me, the parents know me, they know I'm not weird. Mm-hmm. So I'm hugging kids, I'm hugging them, taking them in, giving them a ride, and I'm more physical.
Come to you for a hug now.
Right?
Like, literally.
They hug, they come, even the grown-up kids, whatever you call them, our neighbors, kids, they're all teenagers, and we hug, and there's nothing going on. I know I don't have to be careful or whatever. I'm a hugger, hey, we'll see you next weekend, and hug. They come to me for a hug. If they don't hug me, give me a hug. And we hug. And there's this girl, friend of girl that Ian knows, and if I see her someplace, we talk for a bit, okay, goodbye, give me a hug. I go, this is really, yeah. And give me a tight hug. And then she comes to her house sometimes, give me a hug. And I don't know, we're in church, so I don't know how God it is or necessary, but it's a good witness to hug people and show affection and show love. You're showing love. And some people can get things. If people that don't know you might get, what's happening? But people know you, they know who you are, and whatever. It's not
You're very blessed to have found a situation, mm-hmm. Where you can mm-hmm. hug and be hugged in return.
Because
it's just not like that.
No,
I mean,
it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. And you know what the Bible says? Doesn't even mention hugs. It says, greet what?
Each other with a kiss.
So we're failing by only hugging.
And I'm glad you brought up the jungle because last week I've been training in a new girl at the hotel, and she's in the CVC program for child care. And she was telling me how it's changed since I graduated in 2011 from a different tech program. And she says that they're actually teaching you not to hug children anymore.
They are.
We're not allowed to hug children in daycares. And I knew the YMCA had started this, they made all their employees sign a contract right after I left that you cannot hug children because of weird people that have happened in other cities of YMCAs. And I am so glad I got out of childcare, because that was one of my biggest things. I hugged all the children almost every day if I was having a bad day. I knew which ones I could go to and be like, I need a hug. And I could get it, and snuggling with them and that.
Yeah,
and they're not allowed to see nursery rhymes anymore because they're racist. I mean, and just, and I know you have to wear a mask sometimes in certain daycares, and I'm like, okay, so how are they going to learn facial expressions? How are they going to learn their emotions? How are you going to teach them how to calm down? If they're hurt, they're having a bad day, you can't just side hug them. That's pathetic.
Mm-hmm. But we're set up to raise the next generation worse than what the current generation is, and I don't know how it can get any worse. If you look at anything, even an ad that popped up the other day, on one of the kids was playing something on their iPad, something, and it popped up and said, I sold my soul to be a TikTok star. I thought, oh my goodness, why are you promoting that to my child? And the thought of that, like, what would I trade my soul for? I wouldn't trade it to be a TikTok star. I wouldn't. But this is what we're teaching the little generation, get the attention and have the likes and do this, and everyone strive to be your own idol, strive to be famous for the whole world to know you. And the Bible says true religion is to keep yourself from the world, keep yourself unspotted. So we're just creating a generation of disconnected, non-loving children who are just going to further what's going on, and that's where we got to break those chains.
And how many little kids don't even know what a soul is.
Right. Well, they don't have any idea, and they're as set up in these generational lines of going on a down spiral.
Yeah.
You know, when I studied,
children learn by what they see and feel.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't teach them how to feel, they're not going to feel.
Exactly.
We need to teach them what God has commanded.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do that,
mm-hmm.
we're failing,
right?
Yeah.
We're failing our Lord, and we're failing in every aspect.
Which, you know, if this pandemic wouldn't have happened, none of this would have been brought out of what they're doing in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, not saying there's anything good about the COVID pandemic thing, but it did bring out some things that need to be brought up to make the parents aware, and they are stepping up to take over their own kids' education, you know. And what they're doing is they're trying to educate the children the way they want them to be, not the way your parents want them to be, or the way you want Jesus to have them be, you know. They're brainwashing is where it amounts to.
Yeah.
It's brainwashing them basically by teaching them ungodly, like their arts,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
indoctrinating them into a whole different society.
And like Bible say, you know, we have to teach the kids, but in godly things, but I not necessarily, okay, let's sit down, let's read the Bible, you know, but also in any situation, well, God says about this, and about this, this is what the Bible says, or God says. It doesn't have to be, you know, a 1 hour a week thing to talk about God. Just let them, the little, and you know what, the little kids, they will never judge you. If you tell any grown adult, anybody over 18, in any situation, well, you know, the Bible says this and that, they're going to look at you weird. They will. A kid will never do that. You can tell a kid anything about God, they will listen to you with their boogers hanging, their mouth open, like, and they will listen. Yes. Yes, that's what we have to do. Unless you become like little children. So I never hold back with kids the things of God. I just tell them, and it might seem that they didn't even hear your voice. But they'll grow up one day and say, there's this lady, she said this once, and it is in the Bible. So never hold back with kids. Just tell them. You know what I mean? Even if the parents are there, just tell them what the Bible says, what God says.
And they also learn by our example.
Yes. You can do a lot of preaching of the gospel just by acting like how God wants you to. Yes. Again, no, there was this lady that I needed a nickel and she gave me 50 cents. They will go to the grave with that. And that, the small action right there, might open their ears in the future to the things of God, just a little action. That's what the Bible says, Jesus says, do all these things
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. Well, a big reason is because it puts a light into these people. It gives them hope, and they can see hope, and they can see that there is a God. I do believe strongly that acting kind and doing what the Bible says to do to others, it can really change a life. Even if it might seem minuscule, whatever it is to us, it could be life soul changing to somebody else, and we don't know.
We also need to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Honest with ourselves, because children know when you're being truthful and when you're lying. They know in their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So those are so important. I learned a lot by ministering to children. When I was younger, I taught Sunday school and stuff. And I learned so much from them without them knowing that I was even learning from them. Because God uses them.
Yeah.
They love so unconditionally. Like, my kids, even on my worst days, still love me so completely. Like, it doesn't matter in any way. And it's so sweet, even as those moments... I don't know. It is awesome to feel like I can completely fail, and they still love me completely. And that is such a sweet thing. And even maybe they're upset in the moment, but then the next day or 2 seconds later, it's like nothing happened, and they don't even remember. And I want to love like that. I want to love like that always. And they're so quick to write things off that people do. You know, in the moment, it's pretty cute and pretty sweeter to justify, and I want that heart, that childlike love and trust. When you tell them something, they just trust you. Just trust you, whatever it is.
Remember, my rose would say, "That must be true, Grandma Bonnie said so."
What?
I remember when they were sitting for sick and all of us were little, and Tasha had a friend who had it. Broken arm or leg or something. And she just went up and prayed for him. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor was amazed. He was healed. And it was supposed to take like 2 months to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And she just did it. I said, how'd you know to pray for him? I just did it. No, she just accepted it at that point and did it and honored it.
Mm-hmm.
Because her heart was pure.
Well, and if that's what she believed, and believed that it would happen, it's by your faith let it be unto you. And who believes more than
she didn't question at all, you know? Yeah. And when I even talked to her afterwards, she didn't question. Why wouldn't you, you know? It was a natural thing. That's what children have that we need. It needs to become our nature.
Yes. Again, that's what the Bible says. Unless you become a little children, you will by no means. If I didn't have a Bible, I would have to have a kid. And just observe how they everything and imitate. I remember when Chelsea, she must have been 4 or 5. We were outside. She got stung by a bee. I was outside too, and her whatever. But all she did, she just run to me, 100 miles an hour, as fast as she could run, And what can I do? I mean, I don't have a bee then with me to help her up. But that's what you have to do. Or when you are in need, just run to your Father. You know what I mean? Run to God, and to God only, and to God first. That's what, you know, it's that's why you have to become like a little child. You know, I always remember. I wish I had a story about you like that because you're here. I think about one.
I was at Chelsea's wedding too, so I heard your speech.
Oh my gosh. You know, the parenthesis is nothing spiritual, but if you observe my relationship with Brittany, it might seem like a hater. All the things that have to happen between us or whatever. I don't, obviously I don't. But it's comical. I mean, it is comical right
it
now.
It is comical.
In the moment, it's like questionable. Yeah.
That's how we live. That's how we live. If we didn't do anything wrong, we wouldn't need forgiveness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't learn from our mistakes if we didn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to do Grandpa okay, though, Pablo.
He does Dad pretty good, too. I remember, and it has to have been one of the greatest learning experiences for me, and I was an adult. Right after I got my cast off, I pulled into their driveway, and I did not stop prior to getting to the garage door, which was shut. So
in our driveway.
I got the picture.
Yeah, didn't quite stop in time, not where I was intending, driving with my right leg. So I sat there for a second, knowing, like, I got to go inside now and tell my parents I just hit the garage door. So that's really nice. And I'm like, okay. Just running in for a second. And my kids are in the car. And so I went inside, and I'm like, mopey, zoo lion, at 28 years old. And so I was like, I hit your garage door.
But you were there to bring Felicity a surprise.
Yes. And so, okay, I hit your garage door. And my dad goes, okay, I'll fix it. You know, what you bring, like, it's not a big deal. We all make mistakes. He acted like it was literally nothing. Like I said, I opened your mailbox. And so I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to survive. And here I'm feeling horrible. Like, I've just done the worst thing in the entire world. And then I walked outside, and Jasper had climbed over the back seat and stepped on my fishing pole. And I naturally wanted to not react the same way that I just got reacted to, but I had to say, okay, that's fine. Like, my fishing pole is fixable. Don't worry. You know, but I got to go repeat the same thing, and it reminds me every day of how much I fail God, and his response to me is, okay, like, I still love you. And giving that to Jasper after getting that was like the greatest feeling, because the relief of his reaction being, it's okay, like, I love you, not a big deal, give me a hug, we move on and we don't mention it again. So it's good. And that is such a relief thing, and that's how God loves us. And I can't imagine if that's how my dad loves me on that day. That's how my dad loves me. How much better or how much more does God love me?
Mm-hmm.
How much greater is his love? How awesome that feeling is. That's amazing.
Well, it helps that I never see my garage door. You know? I mean, I see it like, what, 3 times a day? I don't even notice that it's happening. You know, I mean, it's like when I look myself in the mirror, I don't see my tattoos. Well, I don't. I don't even notice. It's not that you brought it up, now I'm angry.
Forgiveness is key.
Well, that just demonstrates that even at 28, you're still a child and you're still learning.
Absolutely. Well, and like, still the fear. Like, we all fail every day. We all do. And what are we, I mean, I want to be good enough to go to heaven. You know, I don't want to fail God. I want to have that, but there's always times that I feel like, oof, I suck. Like, we're all humans. We all have that. But knowing that I can go to him, and his response is always going to be greater than that one. Always 100% of the time. So what am I afraid of? You know? That's an awesome thing to learn and grow in.
I remember Joanne. And her hugs would turn into a hold.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was good. It was good. It lasted longer than what a hug is. You know? I've had it, you know. You know, you hug and the spirit starts flowing, and there's no reason to stop this. Yeah. Well, I've had times where I've kind of done that. And I get a sense, this is time to wrap this thing up here. You know, pick up that sense. But it was good. But Joanne was not the least bit hesitant to, hey, this person needs to be held. Not just a hug, a hold.
Transfer our spirits between each other when we contact each other in the flesh. it's much easier to let go of your spirit if you're touching someone.
Well, where two or more are gathered, there he is in our midst. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we got to be doing something. Maybe that's really just there. He's just there. That's all how he is. That's fantastic. You have to really like somebody and understand them to hug them, you know, in some realm, or be kind of willing to at least, or put aside the own feelings. And that is a freeing, awesome embrace.
I disagree with that. There's some people I just like to annoy them because I follow them around going, I'm going to hug you.
I do that to one of my son-in-laws.
My son-in-law goes over, he used to bully me. So that was the way I could get back to her. Showing her love because she didn't know that.
But did you care about her, or were you trying to piss her off, I guess?
A little bit, but at the same time, I also did care for her because I'm like, you grew up in such a horrible life, and then now you have like no idea how to move on from your life. Like, she had been stuck at the Y since she was 18, and when I knew her, the last time I knew her, she was 35 and still stuck at the Y, because she just didn't have the courage to go out and do anything. Like, you need to learn to... After I talked to her the first time, like, in depth during nap time, I literally called my mom the next night, like, I thought I had problems, but wow, my life looks great. But after that, I did feel sympathy to her. I am still trying to actually forgive her from bullying me so much at the Y, but... I also find it hilarious that her nephew is now my son's best friend. Because I saw him walk by a few times, and I'm like, I know that kid. And finally Carter told me his full name, and I'm like, oh my God, I knew him back when he was like 3, now he's almost 12. So, but it's just funny how the world keeps circling me around to these people. Because I never thought I'd see any of her family again. Her sister won't look at me. It's funny, in the parking lot she ignores me deliberately, and I'm like, don't bother me. You want to be that way? Go ahead. I'd still talk to you. I'd still be nice to you. I did it the Y. I didn't care for you ever then, but I'd still talk to you if I saw you. But their whole family seems to be... I do feel actually sympathy for them because they are very stubborn. They don't know how to open up. And they're just... You can just see the misery in their faces all the time. And I'm like... You just smile once in a while. I think a lot of it would kind of go away. Just a family that knows how to be miserable and they don't move on from it. It's so hard to watch it.
The world does that with a nice callus. We all start with this pure, perfect heart, and then the world makes us very callous. Anybody have good news report for the week, or anybody? Good.
I'm sorry.
A good news report for the week for anyone? Good. A good news. Encourage one another. Or anything?
Well, I was wondering what's been going on with your brother here, Glenn.
I haven't heard nothing, Jerry.
Okay.
Since yesterday.
Well, we'll have to be sure and pray for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. It's hard now. Sometimes it's better than knowing at this point. I don't know if everybody knows. His brother had got COVID and is in the hospital. And he got the pneumonia from the COVID. And
we're not sure
exactly, no. But It is pneumonia, it is COVID, and he's in the hospital. And we're hoping that he can make it through the night. We haven't heard, so we're assuming he made it through the night. And that's about where we're at. It's hard because it's his biological brother.
Yes, you're only one of my original family that I know.
Where does he live?
Huh?
Where does he live?
Arkansas.
Oh, oh, oh. So we can't.
Yeah, he's just down the road.
Unfortunately, even if you were there, you couldn't go because they, you know.
But at least we could be with family. And
yeah.
Well, it looks like Curtis is back and better, huh?
Back and forth, it depends. But yeah, he's been doing better the last 2 days.
How's his hip? His
what?
Yeah, it's like he went to Hannah, and she said that both his hips both rotate forward so bad that she's not surprised that it's pinching on the side of how his discs are and everything. But yeah, he's not laying on the floor scream crying, so that is glory.
That's how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's trusting in the Lord, and he's getting through it.
If you want some more good news, at least go up the other way.
We are.
Exactly, some good news.
Well, I found it kind of funny this week. So last Friday, I ended up getting a headache. I wasn't here this last Sunday. I finally got on the treadmill. It went away. But then I still had a negative the next few days. And at work on Tuesday, I found it funny. I clean hotel rooms at the American Inn, and I always open up the nightstand to make sure there's nothing left behind or whatever. And in this one room, the Bible was open to Job. And I'm like, okay, that's different. And it was the section that I've read Job the beginning many times. I've listened to the beginning, and then I always get distracted and can't concentrate anymore. And I'm like, okay, that was weird. And I just kind of thought about it, and then I kind of moved on. And I had to go upstairs. When I was upstairs, I knew there was less guests, so I turned on YouTube, and I turned on the Job story, and I started listening to it. And all of a sudden, I just started feeling better. And all of a sudden, one of my bosses come to me. She goes, oh, hey, I found a $20 tip. Your name is on it. And you and the new girl. And I'm like, well, it was three of us working in that room. I don't know why the third lady's name is not on that either. And I'm like, I did not do much. I don't want that tip. They should go to the other two. She didn't like that. So I wait until she was gone one day, and I split it up and give it to those two. But it was just kind of interesting how it was almost like God was giving me a reminder, like, hey, I'm still here. I know life seems hard right now, but hey, I'm still here. And just like ever since then, it started perking up. And then last Sunday, we had a friend stop over, and Josh mentioned that we would take her daughter as much as she needed. She's her ex-husband has not been very helpful. They're going through they just got through a very tough divorce. They still have a few things to figure out. And her daughter gets along really good with Sophie, and Sophie basically picks on her a little bit. It's kind of funny to watch, but I started thinking about that again, and like I told Brittany this morning, I'm like, I finally realized I need to start watching children again. Like I don't mind working where I do. It's not as fun, especially when you fall and bruise yourself the dinner Friday, but I mean, I realized I need to start watching children again, and ever since then, I've been the happiest I've been in months. And so I'm going to quit mid-May, and I've already reached out to a few friends, and I'm only going to watch kids that I trust. Well, I trust the families, and I know, but I'm like, that. I find it funny how long it's taken me to get back to that. And that, it feels like me again. So the excuse to go shopping again. It's toys for the kids. But, yeah. Interesting how that all just kind of worked out one right after another.
Thank you. Love you all.